The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Three and Out with Jason and Kevin. I am Jason. That's Kevin. We are brought to you by CincyJungle.com, SB Nation, Cincinnati Bengals site, and we are sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. It's been a couple weeks. The free agency, the new league year, has officially started. We're recording this Thursday, so it started yesterday as of 4 p.m. Eastern time, and legal tampering was going on the 2 days before that, and the Bengals were busy. They've been busy, really busy. So we're going to talk just about tonight, kind of what they've been doing.
Give people watching a idea where we're at. Tart and Becton are currently sitting down and having a steak dinner. So by the time this publishes, they very well could be signed. But we'll get into all that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. It'd be fun to kind of break some breaking news, right?
We'll see. I got Twitter right here.
All right, good deal. All right, so we are on the Orange and Black Insider. We can be found on YouTube or anywhere you can get a podcast. It's not just us. It's OBI. It is Chalk Talk. It's Talking Football with Bengal Jim and Friends. It's a lot of stuff. Check it out. There's a lot of great Bengals stuff pretty much every day. So legal tampering started on Monday. And why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about who they've lost first? How about we do that? Who they've lost first, and then we'll go into who they've signed and the path forward. So, so far, the Bengals have lost Jonah Williams. He signed a 2-year deal in Arizona, and we knew that was going to happen. We've lost Irv Smith, which I think the term lost is not the term. Irv Smith signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. Chidobe Awuzie.
Wouldn't say I'm missing it, Bob.
No. Yeah. Wouldn't say I'm missing it, Bob. Chidobe Awuzie signed with the Titans.
For a lot of money.
Yeah. 3 years, $36 million. Dollars. That's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, I'm a Chido fan. I wish him all the success in the world. I'm not overly certain about that contract, but okay.
Here's the crazy thing. 3 years, $36 million, $22.98 guaranteed.
Yep.
That's 63.8% of his contract, fully guaranteed.
Just because it's interesting, we should get into the Titans. He is building a little island of underperformers and overpaid people down there. It is wild the direction they're choosing to go, but that's Titans, not Bengals. I just think it's interesting.
But hey, I'm happy for Cheeto. Happy for Cheeto.
Oh, very.
You know, So, and then the Bengals released Nick Scott, which I think we all saw coming. Tyler Boyd is still a free agent.
Yeah, it looks like the Steelers or the Chiefs. God,
yeah. And I've heard the Jets are a dark horse team.
Jets, save the day, guys. Come on. Yeah, he's a great player. Exactly. You want him.
And then everyone else, the only guys I would say really are noteworthy, Joe Bocci, Marcus Bailey. I kind of expect the Bengals to re-sign those guys. Trent Irwin is still floating around. Tanner Hudson's still floating around, though I think he's a restricted free agent. I don't think he's unrestricted, but I'm not 100% sure. All right, so
did you mention Reader and Mixon?
Oh, sorry. I kept that. I was saving those two for last. Oh. And then I skipped them. So let's talk about the Mixon one first, because it's sure. It's crazy. I don't understand how this happened. The Bengals.
The Texans are way higher on Mixon than we are, which think they want to use him as a receiving back, which so that kind of actually makes
that's
sense.
That's fine. Yeah. So the Bengals signed Zach Moss from Indiana, or Indianapolis. To give you an idea who Zach Moss is, he's a little bit younger than Mixon. He's a good pass blocker, he's immediately right now the best pass blocker we've had since Giovanni Bernard. 100%.
And a ton of experience running out of shotgun.
Yes.
Experience and Mixon, success running out of shotgun.
I think as far as a runner, maybe he's just a little bit more explosive than Mixon is now. Maybe not as Mixon was at the beginning of his career, but more so than he is now. And he's cheaper, which is a huge deal. So after they signed Moss, they just said, they didn't say it, but it was reported that they've released Mixon, which made total sense. And then the news came out that they actually traded Joe Mixon to the Houston Texans for, I think the compensation is officially a 7th round pick, which is incredible that there's no leverage there at all. Why would Houston say, here's a 7th round pick when we could pick him up in a free agency tomorrow?
Well, we got our answers because they didn't want to hit a couple hours ago, they gave him a 3-year extension for and upped his salary. They clearly value Mixon a lot more than the Bengals front office did.
They do.
I feel like this is going to be a divisive issue for the fan base for years to come, because I do think Mixon is primed to have a little more success down there than he had up here, just because they run a style of offense that his game fits a little better. So hopefully he has success, but you know what I mean? But then people were, we should have never let him go. I think he might just honestly be a better fit for that style of offense.
I think.
So I wish him luck.
Yeah, oh, I do too. I think he'll find more success down there than he would here. But that has nothing to do with him. It's everything to do with the system that they're asking him to operate in. I think Zach Moss is a better fit for the offense that Joe Burrow wants to run here. And I think that Joe Mixon was never a very good fit for a Joe Burrow run offense. I think that he's like really one of the few guys that you could kind of consider like a bell cow guy that can take, you know, 20, 25 carries a game. And that's just not a thing that our offense has use for. You know, they need a guy to pass block. They need a guy to catch the ball in the backfield. And Mixon's been good. I'd say he's vastly improved at that. He's been really good at catching the ball in the backfield over the last couple of years.
Yes.
But he can't pass
block. Which is what I think they value in
him. Well, right. But if you want an offense to flow through the quarterback, the running back can't be one of the highest paid players on the team. Just can't be. You know what I mean? And they have the benefit of having a young rookie quarterback on a rookie contract. So they can afford Joe Mixon right now when that switches out. Probably. But I'm happy for him. Good for him.
Yep.
And then I think the biggest hit was just a couple hours ago. It was officially announced. DJ Reader signed with the Detroit Lions. So that's a tough one. I think that's a 2-year deal. I think. Let me look here. DJ, 2 years. The money's not reported yet. So that's a
It was it was 28 million.
Oh, 28. Okay. I just meant like,
but only it's 28 million. Only 8 million of it is guaranteed, which says a lot about the health concerns that the Lions have, considering, and I mean, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Would I have re-signed Reader? Yeah. I mean, I probably would have, being honest. I have to trust the franchise. He's been in the building. He's been rehabbing. I have to trust that they know what they're doing as far as the health is concerned. But regardless, this is what hurts. Reader was a favorite of mine, a top player as far as I'm concerned.
It does.
He's a Bengal forever, even though he's only here for 4 years.
Yeah. Right. Well, he's such a huge part in our success and in the postseason success that we've had. I mean, we don't go to the Super Bowl without DJ Reader shutting down King Henry. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So
now we got to face him twice a year.
Yeah. Wait, DJ Reader? Oh, no. King Henry. Yeah. King Henry. Yes. Yeah. I know.
We'll get into that too. We'll do an episode where we run down the changes of our opponent. Yeah.
Both Pittsburgh and Baltimore have made some big steps. Cleveland's done other stuff.
Ravens lost a lot of stuff.
They have. They have lost a lot of stuff. And we'll get into that, too, because we stole one of them. The only thing I wanted to say with Reader, I'd be interested to know what the Bengals offered him. I don't think we'll ever find out. But if they offered him something, I just kind of want to know what it was. Was it a guaranteed thing? Was it just, you know, a length of term? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I don't think we'll ever find out. But that does suck because Lou Anarumo's defense is not Lou Anarumo's defense without DJ Reader. And that's going to be a tough, nose tackle is going to be a tough spot for us to fill. So
I don't think we do. I mean, I think Tart is an option, but I don't think we run with the nose tackle nearly as often. I think we just run for maybe on first down.
Possibly. Yeah.
But a lot of teams don't really have a nose tackle. We'll be fine. We'll modify it. You could argue the only reason we ran with it like we did was because we had DJ Reader.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to convince myself here. Losing him is a blow.
Yep. I agree. I absolutely agree. How about we take a break, do a commercial, and come back, talk about who they've added? All right. Or do you have anything else you want to say about?
Nope.
That's all it. Right. We'll be right back.
Eastgate Smiles Dental Care is a warm and welcoming environment where expertise and customer service come together. As a local business, they love helping their fellow Cincinnatians manage their oral health and achieve a perfect smile. They pair the latest technology with years of experience to give you a smile worth showing off. They are dedicated to quality and convenience and can even perform dental crown procedures the same day in most cases. You like your smile, but they are here to help you love it. They personalize your care and match your needs. Call them today at 513-528-1150 to learn what they can do for your pearly whites.
All right. So over the last several years, the Bengals, when legal tampering comes on or starts, you know, and then the first few days of free agency, typically the Bengals are not active. They're waiting for all the big name guys to go, and then they'll come in and take up, you know, who's left or who was, you know, I was cut because I make too much, whatever. The Bengals have been really active so far in free agency so far. So the first thing they did, and we'll go with these one at a time. The first thing they did was they brought in safety help, which I think that the rumors, that not rumors, but the idea that they were really unhappy with their safety room and they were looking to address it early in the offseason, those rumors kind of came around when, please tell me that beep was like a signing. No. Oh, okay. They were unhappy with the communication issues. They were unhappy with what they had on the roster when it comes to Dax Hill. And not to say Dax Hill's bad, they just don't know. I don't think they know what to do with him, you know.
Is weird because almost every fan I've ever spoken to knows what to do with him, but whatever. Yeah. Why not just burn down a first round draft pick? It's fine.
Well, yeah. So what they ended up doing is they went out and they got a safety from Baltimore Ravens, Geno Stone. He's 24 years old. They signed him to a 2-year, $14 million deal, $6 million fully guaranteed. He had a 6-interception season last year. He's kind of this guy, and they've had this, they did the same thing. And I'm not saying that Geno Stone is Trey Hendrickson. I'm not saying that, but Trey Hendrickson kind of came on at the end of his rookie contract with that big last season. You know what I'm saying?
They look for risers. It's something they do. Young risers. Right. Yeah.
So that's exactly who Geno Stone is. He's a young riser. You know, Baltimore's a tough defense. That's a tough place to play defense. And you're playing against Joe Burrow. You're playing against, we're not going to get into the rest of the division, but Geno Stone had 6 interceptions last year from the safety position. He'll step in probably at free safety right away. I'll just cover the safety position first. So, well, first of all, what do you think about that trade? Or not that trade, that signing?
Geno Stone? Yeah. I think it's an excellent signing. We expected some kind of veteran help to come in at safety. Here's the thing. I don't know what to say about most of this, right? Because every single move the Bengals made has been telegraphed for weeks. And it's kind of wild. Yeah. I've never seen an offseason go so methodically, almost exactly as the fan base expected it to. Everybody's been talking about Geno Stone. Everybody's been talking about Zach Moss. Do you know what I mean? And now we got Tart in the building. We got Becton in the building. Names but people have been talking about. It is weird. So what do I think about it? Right. The same thing everyone's been thinking about it for weeks. It's a great signing. It instantly makes the safety room a strength as opposed to a weakness. It adds veteran leadership. He's a great player. That's it.
He kind of brings a perspective from Baltimore. You know, the Bengals have struggled with Baltimore secondary. He kind of brings a new perspective. I'm excited. I'm very happy with the Geno Stone signing. I'm super excited about the Geno Stone signing. So might as well just stick with the safety room. I think it was mentioned last night. The Bengals also brought back Von Bell. Now, sure. At first, I was very confused about the signing because I was like, well, you got Geno Stone and you still have Dax Hill and you still have Jordan Battle on the roster. Like, now you kind of got these four guys with starting experience. What are you going to do? But he signed a 1-year, $6 million deal, fully guaranteed, and that $6 million is being paid by the Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
So why not bring him back here for free, basically, and say, hey, we've had a lot of communication issues. Help us. Just help us. Even if you don't start, sure, whatever. Get in there, help us out. It's for free. And I think what he wants, obviously, is he didn't have the season that he wanted to have in Carolina. He's going to come back here and try to get paid again. You know, hey, I show him I still have it. Look what I did in Cincinnati again. Carolina just sucks. You know what I mean? And then hopefully by that time next year, 2025, you have Jordan Battle ready to roll, Dax Hill ready to roll, whatever. You know what I mean?
But I am very torn on the Von Bell pick. Von Bell was a favorite player of mine. Love Von Bell. Definitely missed him last year. Does signing Von Bell basically put the final nail in Dax Hill's coffin?
No. Does he make the team?
No, but where's he going to play? This is year three.
I know.
Where's he going to play?
I don't know, man. I kind of agree with what you're saying. I like the concept of the Von Bell thing here.
Yes, you know what I mean? Was very excited when it first happened. Right. Yes,
I like the concept, but I am concerned mildly about the logistics of where you can't have 12 guys on the field. Like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
He should slot in where Hilton's at, but are they going to do that?
I don't know. Think the best thing that they could do with Dax Hill right now, the best thing they could do for his career and for the Bengals, is have Stone and Bell start the season and really help bring Battle along, and then just switch. Dax is now going to be a slot corner, and he's going to learn from the best. He's going to learn from Mike Hilton. You know, maybe he'll rotate with Mike Hilton, keep Hilton fresher into the season. And then next year he takes over that spot.
If that is the only way forward I can see, and I hope they follow it, is I really do think his skill set, he was born to play that role. I think
I agree.
Right in for Hilton.
I think so too. But then what he lacks in Hilton's like intuitiveness and ability to you know, read offenses, Dax can make up with that crazy athleticism and speed. So
yes.
All right, so that's the safety room. We mentioned they lost DJ Reader. They did go out. Defensive tackle is arguably one of the biggest holes. I'd say it is the biggest hole on the team. So they lost DJ Reader. They no longer have a nose tackle, but they did go out and they did sign Sheldon Rankins, another number 98 from out of Houston. He'll be 30 this year. They signed him to a 2-year, $26 million deal. That's a lot. And they kind of
went, I would have said it was a lot last year. This year, it's kind of right. Par for the course of these tackles.
Dude. Well, yeah, the way the tackles are. They kind of went against what they usually do with this signing. You know, they want to stay away from guys who are pushing 30. They don't want to give a lot of money to guys. But I think that they saw the way the market was falling. Becton isn't a nose tackle. You know, I'm sorry, not Becton. Rankins is not a nose tackle.
No, he's a pure free tackle.
Yeah, he's a three tech. He's a lot more. I'm not going to say he's Geno Atkins, but that's the kind of style guy that he is. You know what I mean? I don't think he's nearly as good. But he gives the Bengals an immediate push up the middle in pass rushing situations. And his ability
to move. Has him credited for 7 sacks.
And that's a huge deal. Coming from up the middle, that's a big deal.
Yeah, yes, it is. Much needed pressure.
Yeah, so, you know, having the ability to push the pocket so a quarterback can't step up is going to help Trey Hendrickson so much, you know, help whoever's on the other side too. But imagine a third and long situation with Trey Hendrickson, Sheldon Rankins, Sam Hubbard kicked inside, and then put Miles Murphy on the other side. That's
sure.
That's in
Assuming
theory.
Murphy takes that's the a hellacious. Yeah, we all pass hope rush. He's going to take.
Well, right.
Yes.
In theory, that's a nasty pass rush. But yeah, I like that signing. I think it's good. It's a little bit money for a guy that's that age, but I think the way the market is, I don't think they had a choice. They had to do something.
They didn't. No, they didn't. And I'm not overly worried. I think the Bengals are more worried about paying a 30-year-old than I am. That whole expression, the closer you are to the ball, the longer you get to play, that thing. I think it's true. I'm less worried about older O-linemen and D-linemen than I am about older wide receivers and cornerbacks. It doesn't overly scare me. I think we're going to watch the defense evolve. I think you very much got to roll with the punches, especially in the situation the Bengals are in. They could have floundered and desperately tried to recreate their defense from last year, and they probably would have failed. They could have overpaid Reader. And again, got to trust the franchise. I don't like it, but apparently they're very worried about his health. The Lions seem to be as well. Yeah. So, and tried to just re-up it, but instead they went out, they found some value in Rankins. They're going to increase their pass rush. They're going to be much worse at run defense, which we'll see what that means with the Ravens.
Season started now, I mean, they haven't finished, but yeah, like as of right
let's be honest though. There's no reality in which they're going to replace at this point. There's no reality where they're going to replace Reader's impact in the run game. They did worse at run defense, period. And there's nothing that's going to change that. And we might, it might move a matter of degrees, but it just is what it is. We're a worse run defense team this year.
I think we have potential to be a better pass rush team.
We do. We're already a better pass rush team, in my opinion.
So Sheldon Rankins come in. We talked about Zach Moss a little bit. We'll kind of talk about it more. He backed up Jonathan Taylor, but when Jonathan Taylor was hurt last year, he played well. He did. And he was pretty explosive runner. And like you said, he has a little bit more experience, he's a little bit more comfortable running out of the shotgun, which is something that Joe Burrow likes to do. And he's a much better pass blocker. And I think that's the selling point, really. I looked at their PFF grades, and Mixon was better last year than he was the year before, but it was still like a 29. It was bad. Sure. And Moss was like a 62.
Yeah, he's a good pass rusher, good blocker for a running back.
And I think that there's some people, Mixon has the ability to carry the ball 20. It doesn't matter. I think what they saw from Chase Brown at the end of the last half of last season or the last third of last season, whatever it was, I think that they're just going to roll with like a true timeshare kind of thing.
I agree.
Zach Moss is going to get 10 carries, and we're going to put Chase Brown in. He'll get 10, stuff like that. So
it is hard to watch Mixon walk away, though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Isn't it weird?
Both he and Boyd in the same offseason, because they're two of the tenuous.
It's like the very last of the old guard.
Yeah. So the only
it really is Zach Taylor and Burrow's Bengals now. Like none of them are left.
Yeah. Well, no, there's one guy that played for Marvin Lewis.
Who?
Sam Hubbard.
Last one. That's true. That's true. Yep.
Last one. It is weird. I mean, and not to say that I don't know. It is kind of strange to see the old era.
I mean, it got me in my feelings a little bit earlier. Yeah. I watched, I just feel like it's worth saying. I watched Mixon's press conference for the Texans.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm projecting. He seemed sad.
Yeah.
I was sad too.
Yeah. I'm sad. I understand the business side of this. It sucks. And what's going to bother you more, Joe Mixon or Tyler Boyd? Because I think when Tyler Boyd signs somewhere else, it's going to hurt bad. Especially if he goes to Kansas City. Ugh, please don't. Please don't, Tyler.
For me, it's Mixon. Okay. Just because Mixon's always been more vocal, so I guess I associate, I connect more with his personality than Boyd. Boyd has the potential to be more hurtful if he goes to Kansas City or Steelers, which probably is going to happen.
All right, so moving on now, we got... we already talked about Von Bell. We got tight end. The Bengals went out and they grabbed. Well, first they re-signed Drew Sample to a 3-year deal. I think it's $10.5 million. If you, I would have hated that 2 years ago. Would have hated it. Resigning Drew Sample for 3 years. Last year, they used him in a way that he was much more productive in the offense. He was a receiving threat, which was a little bit of fun to watch because he runs like an offensive tackle.
Threat's a strong
okay,
word.
Threat. I don't want to say threat. He caught the ball. But he scored by running over Mitch Wilcox in one of the most fun touchdowns I've seen the Bengals have. But like, I see him as more of an H-back than a fullback. You know, or I'm sorry, more of an H-back than a tight end. I think that he's more of a blocker, an inline blocker. But they went out and they grabbed Mike Gesicki. He on a 1 year, what is it? Mike Gesicki, 1 year, $6 million deal.
Yep.
And Gesicki is more, almost
he's
more
a slot receiver. He's a slot receiver.
Yeah.
He can't block for crap.
No, he's not a great blocker. He is a downfield receiving threat. Of the last 4 years of the tight ends they've had with CJ Uzama, Hayden Hurst, Irv Smith Jr., and Mike Gesicki, I would say Mike Gesicki, without even seeing him play in a Bengals uniform, is the best true receiver of the four of them.
He is the best receiving. He was good before Joe Burrow got a hold of him. Let's put it that way. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's a world beater. But people know who Mike Gesicki is before Joe Burrow gets him paid and gets a $12 million.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Burrow's going to have fun as far as Gesicki's concerned. He is he's a contested catch. Not machine seems strong, but he's incredibly good at it.
Right.
He is going to make some really, really, really fun plays on this offense with Joe Burrow throwing to him.
So, first of all, I want to say that everyone remembers the December game in 2019 when the Bengals beat, or sorry, when the Dolphins beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
That kind of locked up the Bengals getting Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And Mike Gesicki.
Did you watch his press conference today?
I did.
Gesicki's?
I did.
He called it the Burrow Bowl. He immediately remembered it. Yeah.
But Mike Gesicki scored 2 touchdowns in that game. But furthermore, he said, of Cincinnati, they could have said it's the worst place in the world. When you have number 9 at quarterback, I was like, all right, that's the place I want to go.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So,
I mean, that's true for a lot of positions. I think it's become very blatantly true for tight end. Gesicki thinks he's got the skill set to get a payday. And he's here for Burrow to feed him that ball and get him a payday, which is fine. I would have rather signed Noah Fant to a 3-year deal. I thought there was an outside chance that was happening. I'm kind of just tired of the revolving door tight ends. But if we got to do one more year of it, then so be it. Gesicki ain't the worst guy.
No.
To play that game.
I think
with.
When I looked at free agent tight ends, I wanted Noah Fant or Mike Gesicki, one of the two. And I kind of agree. I think Fant would have been a better, like, I don't want to say better signing, but Fant would have been like a guy I want to sign a 2 or 3 year deal. We're just going to keep him here. We know what he can do. I think, first of all, I don't know why Gesicki chose New England. I mean, I don't know. I feel like anyone could have looked at that situation and said, no, I don't want to be a receiver up there. I think he's a very talented downfield receiving threat. I don't think he's going to be a blocker, but together he and Drew Sample should make one really good tight end. You know what I mean? And then they were talking about like their ability to run 12 personnel with 2 tight ends in the box. And like you mentioned, Mike Gesicki's basically a slot receiver, and I agree. But I could see some situations where you have Sample and Gesicki both going out. You know what I mean? Where
100%.
Is stretching the field and Sample's kind of your safety valve kind of tight end. So I see more all-around involvement with Sample this year, even though Mike Gesicki's on the team. Because like you said, he's a slot receiver. I almost see Gesicki as a Boyd replacement more than I do Irv Smith Jr.
That's 100% what he is. Yeah.
And not
we still don't have a true tight end, which is kind of fun because we can go into the draft and maybe still grab a tight end, which I'm putting it out there right now. We're doing in the 3rd round. That's the way the Bengals work. We got that extra pick. Who? We're going to use it as a bonus pick. And who the best one available in the 3rd? I'm hoping it's Sennett, but I don't know.
Oh, I know. That's who I was hoping you would say. Sennett. You know who I see when I think of him? I see who's the kid? Laporte. That's who I see. Sam Laporte.
Do you know how hard it is? You know this. I have been beating the drum for Senate for like 2 months now.
Yeah. When you could
pick him up in the sixth round when nobody knew who the hell he was. I slowly watched everybody discover who Senate was.
Well, because he went to the combine and ran really fast.
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, I saw it first, though, and now my dreams of getting him in the fifth are gone. Like,
No. He's a second round pick, possibly. Maybe a third round pick. But you know, the Bengals, so, I mean, this isn't really free agency news, but it's draft news. They got a sixth round compensatory. It was originally 2 sixth rounds. And then the Bengals screwed that up, and it changed from a sixth to a third, which is huge. A third-round pick, the difference between a third-round pick and a sixth-round is massive. But they have two-thirds, two-sixths, two-sevenths. So they have ten picks. They have a chance, I think, of possibly moving around a little bit because they can leverage some of those picks, which
I think
that's a whole different
thing. Punter. Yeah, the sixth becomes a punter, and I think at least one of the sevenths is used to move around, maybe both sevenths.
I don't know if they're going to draft a punter. I think that I could see them giving what's-his-face another year. I don't even remember
if they
his name.
Do, that's a mistake.
That's how bad he was. I don't remember his name.
Mistake.
What's his name? Who's our punter?
I don't know.
Yeah, no. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. Moving on.
Hey.
I'm sick. So what's your excuse?
I'm sick. So let's talk about just the two guys that you said are out to dinner at Jeff Ruby's, I'm assuming, down at the precinct.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mekhi
Becton and Cart.
Mekhi Becton, yeah. So he's a tackle. If they sign him, I know that you said, we've kind of chatted privately, but you said you wouldn't be, that you think that if we sign Becton, we still have to draft a right tackle in the first round.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, because you don't think Becton's good enough to start. I think he would be a downgrade from Jonah.
I think Becton has all the potential in the world, which we won't know till week five of the next playing season. So we can't risk it because all we do know is that he's not very good. So since that's all we know, we have to draft.
And they don't want to be in that situation because that's when they found out Nick Scott wasn't good, week six. Like, oh, no. Yeah. And then Tart. What's his first name again? I'm sorry. I just totally blanked on that.
Pierre, T-E-A-I-R, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
So he is a nose tackle, and I guess they're all up. So, I mean, if they sign, if they sign both of those guys, then they really kind of, I guess the idea would be they go into the draft without a glaring hole, you know, outside of maybe punter, whatever. And then just some other guys that I think just
this is where we disagree. We've kind of covered everything now. So here's the way to end it. I feel like we disagree on this. It is a glaring hole. They don't have a right tackle.
Right.
I mean, you can say they do, but they don't. I mean, if Mekhi Becton ends up being your starter for more than a few games, you probably have a big problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just the honest answer. Like, now there is a chance he takes a step, and I hope he does. That's great. Right. The more good players you have, the better. But you can't count on that. I don't even know. Yeah.
You were talking about Trent Brown, right?
I think Trent Brown is a better fit than Mekhi Becton because at least we know what he can do.
Yeah. He's older. But if you sign a guy just for 2 years, but like you said, the closer they play the ball, the longer he gets to play. Yeah, I think that they have to learn from their mistakes with Andrew Whitworth, that they can't use age as the correct, you know, thing to judge certain positions. I think wide receiver, absolutely. Once you hit 30, get out. You know what I mean? Running back too, you got all that mileage and stuff, but offensive linemen can play longer typically. So,
all right. So
the Bengals have been.
Let's wrap this up. What grade as of right now? As of right now, assuming. Yeah. I'd say it's okay to assume they sign Becton and Tart because those are two low level. Well, it's because they're two low level additions. Right. We expect some version of those signings coming up. If it ain't those exact players, you know. Yeah. Assuming they sign those two players, what's your grade?
B+. I think that they addressed every major hole on the roster, mostly with upgraded talent, with the exception of a couple spots, and it allows them to go into the draft mostly, not 100%, but mostly with the mindset of we can take whoever we want whenever we want. You know what I mean? Mostly. They still have to focus on a couple things like defensive tackle and offensive and right tackle. But for the most part, it opens everything up. You know what I mean? Where they don't have to draft safeties early. They don't have to draft a tight end. They can kind of do what they want. So I say B+. If they sign both those two guys.
I disagree with you on, not a hard disagree, but I disagree with you on most of that. I'm going to give them a C+. I do not think their draft is nearly as open as you're suggesting. Depth is still a nightmare at defensive tackle. So they have to hit defensive tackle early because otherwise what are you doing? I think that they don't have an answer whatsoever at right tackle. So I think we're kind of in the shit if one of the big six doesn't fall to us. I will not be excited day one of the draft. I will be sitting nervously twitching as I watch the six tackles go one by one off the board, just praying that any one of them falls to us. Because I guarantee if they do, we are going to sign them. So I don't think we addressed everything quite like I wanted them to. C+ is still fine, slightly better than average. I do think we improved a little bit, but you can't go. It's one thing to have like a glaring hole at like tight end or safety.
Right.
You can address that in the third round. You could wait at least to a certain extent to let that fall to you. To have a glaring hole at right tackle is you're playing with fire. I get there's a lot of talent there, but that's a scary proposition they're setting up here.
I agree with you. So I can't, you never know who you're going to get as a rookie. You never know.
You do not. I mean, a lot of really great tackles were really bad rookies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's hard to play.
They all can't be.
Most new O linemen are bad for at least the first half of season. Sometimes the whole season.
Right. Right. They can't all be Penei Sewell. So, I don't want to come down from B+ just because I think that they did a pretty good job with what, without going overboard too much on anybody. With the exception of Rankins, and like I said, I don't even think that's a terrible deal. I just think it's something.
I think Rankins is a great addition. I just don't think he is a better addition than DJ Reader is a loss.
Well, right. No, I agree.
But health becomes an issue, it's hard.
Do you want to pay Reader this much for a year and a half football? You're lucky.
Not even a year and a half football. Well, right, so I read a stat. He played 40% of available snaps throughout his career with the Bengals. Not great.
No, it's not great. And look what he did still, but it is what it is. So,
I do have one question. Will you maintain that it was a B+ all the way through watching Brock Bowers get passed on by the Bengals because we have to take a tackle?
That's not going to happen.
But if it does, if Bowers is there at 18 and we have to take a tackle, will you maintain it was a B+?
No, but that just wouldn't happen. First of all, Brown
What if it's Newton and instead we got to take, we have to take like Guyton?
I don't want to talk about this right now. Let's talk about this in another show.
B+ might feel real generous in a month.
I know it is, but I feel confident with B+ right now. I'm going to stick with B+ right now. And you know what? Maybe we'll bring back Josh Tupou. Everything will be okay. So,
he's gonna save the day. Sure.
So I do want to have one more question for you. At the end of the day, right now, are they a better 52-man roster today than they were at the end of 2023?
No, because of the right tackle issue, but I do think they will solve it in the draft. Okay. I think by the time they get through the draft, they will be a better team.
Okay, cool.
But now, no, because right tackle is a glaring massive hole.
I would say right now,
a very important position.
Right. I would say right now, no, because there's no left or right tackle and because nose tackle. But I see a path through the golden path. I see a path through that can work. It could be great. So, all right. So once again, we are on the Orange and Black Insider. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out anywhere you get podcasts. We are brought to you by CincyJungle.com, SB Nation, Cincinnati Bengals site, and sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. Give them a call. You got anything else, man?
That's it.
All right. We'll catch you again soon. Thanks for watching. Hoo day.
Good day.
That's great!